Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we've got an exciting announcement from Tesla regarding a future investment in Giga Nevada. We'll talk about that first, and then we'll also, after that, talk about Tesla's Q4 earnings tomorrow. We'll go through my expectations as well as analyst consensus. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla today up about 0.1%, closing at $143.89, while the NASDAQ today was down about 0.25%. So although a relatively flat day for Tesla, nice little outperformance, we are tapering off a bit after hours. Microsoft did kick off earnings, but continued earnings week here with a lot of companies reporting with a softer guidance than expected. So I think that influencing a lot of reaction after hours today. We'll see if that continues tomorrow, but really exciting news announced from Tesla today after hours as well. There was some of this leaking out later in the evening last night and early this morning that Tesla is planning a significant expansion investment for Giga Nevada. So there's been a little bit of confusion. Is this Giga Nevada? Is this a new factory in Nevada? It is an expansion of Giga Nevada. They say here, continuing our investment in Nevada. That could still mean a separate factory, but later on, they note that they are going to invest $3.6 billion more to continue growing Giga Nevada, adding 3,000 new team members and two new factories, a 100 gigawatt hour 4680 cell factory, as well as our first high volume semi factory. So super exciting. They walked through some of the history of Giga Nevada, of course. There was an original plan for Giga Nevada to produce 35 gigawatt hours of battery cells. Tesla has now hit that on an annual basis and continuing to grow from there. Obviously significant plans for battery production expansion, adding 100 gigawatt hours of 4680 production. So while they do say new factories, my expectation here is that these are new factories kind of within Giga Nevada is how they're sort of referring to it, with the 4680 being its own thing and then the semi-production line being its own thing as well. So previously Tesla had talked about a target for the semi-volume production to be somewhere around 50,000 units per year. I think Elon had that target in mind for 2024. So presumably this would be, even the cell factory here, contributing to that. Roughly 50 gigawatt hours to produce that many semis, depending on if they're the higher range or the lower range version. It'd be a little bit less than that. So if Tesla does intend to use this entire 4680 cell production for semis, that could support more than 100,000 semis per year. So we'll see if that is the intent later on, or if Tesla wants to split that, maybe 45-55 or something like that, semi and other products, maybe some energy products and things like that. We'll see. But really exciting to hear this announcement from Tesla today, as we've all been waiting for maybe an announcement about Mexico or Indonesia. Tesla, I think, surprising a little bit with this announcement about Nevada. But should mean a little bit more rapid expansion because Tesla's already got a footprint there. They've already got presumably a lot of permitting done for this factory. So hopefully we see this take place relatively quickly over the next couple of years. Unfortunately, they don't really give us a firm timeline on this investment, but $3.6 billion, that's significant. That would be roughly half of Tesla's annual CapEx budget. But I would expect that this does happen over the course of multiple years. But again, that semi-production target from Elon, that was for next year. So presumably this expansion will be happening relatively soon. Tesla does point out a couple things just on the new Giga Nevada page. Of course, we see the beautiful render there. The original render of the Gigafactory plans not quite come to fruition, but it looks like this would finally build that out and add some nice little cosmetic touches as well. And of course, plenty of solar on the roof there. But they talk about joining them in Giga Nevada, building out the semi. They say that this will be 4 million new square feet, or 4 million square feet of new manufacturing space for that line, for the 4680s and for the semi. And then kind of an interesting thing that they noted here, this is somewhat unrelated, but they do talk about their employee benefits at the bottom of this page. And they note that any employees will receive some discounts, including free full self-driving. So I know there's been some reporting of that happening at times in the past for Tesla offering that to employees. Looks like that is being confirmed here on this page. So really excited about this expansion. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more information from Tesla on this tomorrow in terms of timelines and things like that. But we finally know the location for the production line for the semi, and good to see reiteration of massive expansion plans for 4680 production. All right, just a couple other super quick items today before we get into the earnings preview. Tesla has actually raised the base price on the long-range Model Y in the United States, only $500, but I do view that as a small positive. As we talked about yesterday, we have seen inventory decline, especially at that, you know, below the $55,000 cap. Inventory has significantly declined, so, and below that cap, maybe not any inventory available. So I think Tesla probably just trying to eke out a little bit more margin on those trims that seem to be selling very quickly below that cap. So positive sign there. And then, not directly Tesla related, but a report from the Wall Street Journal today that Ford is in talks with BYD to potentially sell a manufacturing plant in Germany to BYD. So it's a really interesting microcosm of all of the disruption that we've been talking about for, I guess, forever. But seeing a Chinese OEM taking over a factory from Ford, you know, not dissimilar from what we have seen from Tesla with the NUMMI factory in Fremont many years back. I guess a lot of similarities. There are differences too, but interesting to see just sort of the shift in market share of production, I guess, if this sale does go through. All right, let's talk about Tesla's earnings tomorrow. Let's just make sure that everything's working okay here. I did change my setup here a little bit. Starting to get a little more settled. All right, let's flip over to Excel. I think the volume is maybe a little bit loud. I'm going to turn that down slightly. Hopefully that's a little bit better. Just give me 2 seconds here. Just want to make sure I'm not shouting at you guys. All right, let me flip over to Excel and we'll take a look at earnings expectations. Hopefully everyone can see that all right. So I've just got them out here in the open. We will go through section by section, but don't want to sort of bury any leads or anything. An interesting case this time, we've got the analyst consensus over here. As you'll be able to see, although my top line is a little bit higher, in general, I am a little bit more bearish than analysts this time around, which is pretty unusual. Usually I have a little bit higher expectations. This time around, a little bit lower. My hunch is that maybe some of that is reflected in analysts not fully updating their models for some of the things that we saw later in the quarter in regards to specifically the discounting in the United States. Sometimes analysts just aren't quite as quick to update things, so that's kind of my best expectation. I would guess, based on that, that the whisper number, you know, true Wall Street expectations are probably a little bit lower than analyst consensus. But let's go through the numbers here. Top line, so of course we know deliveries should be right in that ballpark. Automotive sales, I'm just shy of $21 billion. The analyst consensus is just over that, so I'm about $100 million short. About a third of that would be coming from regulatory credits. I'm only at $265 million there. The rest would just be from lower average selling price expectations relative to Wall Street. But I am making up for that on the revenue line significantly by energy sales and service and other sales. So for some reason, Wall Street's expecting those to decline quarter over quarter for services and others. Not really sure why that is. And same thing with energy. Both of those things seem pretty unlikely to me. So I'm significantly higher there, maybe $400 million or so across those two lines. Automotive profit, this is probably the most important line as we talk about most quarters. I know there's maybe a varying perception on that this quarter with energy, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But automotive profit, so my expectation for automotive gross margin ex credits is for a 25.1% margin. So I'd be down 170 basis points quarter over quarter. Wall Street consensus is at 26.4%, so only a 40 basis point decline despite some of the discounting and lower sale prices that we saw, which we'll talk about more in a second. On the energy and storage lines, I am a little bit higher, on energy and service lines, I am a little bit higher, but still mixing out significantly lower on the gross margin lines, which leaves me with a lower operating income and lower expectations in terms of earnings. We'll talk more about that in a second, but let's talk about some of the automotive average selling prices here, just to kind of work our way down. So if we slide over to the rationale here, if we're talking about average selling price, one of the reasons I'm showing a lower number than Wall Street consensus and a lower average selling price quarter over quarter is because, of course, as we've talked about, we did have price cuts in China. Those happened on October 24th, so that'll impact most of the deliveries in China for this quarter. Remember, we had a few deliveries, maybe, 10% of the domestic sales in China happened before that price cut, but they had that price cut. In addition to that, there were those insurance benefits that were layered on. Some of that cost probably shared with the insurance providers, but Tesla may be responsible for that in a way as well. But that's probably more on the margin side than the ASP side, but in tandem with those price cuts, something to keep in mind. And then, of course, we have the discounting in the United States at the end of the quarter. First, the $3,750 discount starting December 1st. And then after that, we did have the full $7,500 discount in sort of the last week and a half or so of the quarter. So I'm expecting between these, the hit from the price cuts in China relative to what the revenue would have been without those is kind of how I approached the model. I had that as about a $300 million hit and then about a $350, $400 million hit or so from the discounting in the United States. Now, if we look at some of the other factors that are impacting this, these are the two primary factors. I think that's probably around $1,600 or so of my average selling price decline in terms of the forecast. Then we've got a couple other things here. The China Model 3 mix, of course, that was a lower percentage in Q3. We had more consistent production in Q4 of the Model 3 out of Shanghai. So that actually is 21% of the total this quarter. And of course, that's the lowest average selling price vehicle that Tesla's got versus 16% in Q3. So that drives things down. That's most of the other drop in ASP that I've got. But the Model S and X also, same thing there, a lower percent of the total, or I guess kind of the opposite thing, but lower percent of the total for S and X this quarter versus Q3. So at the end of the day, I'm coming in with about a $2,000 decline in average selling price, but we do have significant uncertainty around trim mix and particularly, I guess, order and timing of order mix. This has been a huge question mark throughout this entire year in terms of modeling ASPs because we don't know when Tesla is delivering which vehicles and when those were ordered. And when they were ordered, that carries different price points because of all the volatility in Tesla's pricing throughout the year. So it's been a difficult thing to forecast throughout the entire year, and that uncertainty remains this quarter. You may remember last quarter, I think I was expecting an average selling price increase and we actually declined. And I think it was because of that uncertainty in regarding when orders had actually been placed versus when they had been delivered. So that remains this quarter, especially, you know, in the United States in the first part of the quarter, how much of that was happening before we had these discounts, really tough to say. All right, on the cost of goods sold side, so the reason that my margin number is declining here quarter over quarter, I've got the average selling price declining $2,100, but cost of goods sold only declining $700. I hope that this is conservative. Things driving it down would include production rate increases. Of course, Tesla producing 437,000 or 439,000 this quarter, or Q4, significantly increased from the numbers in Q3. So every additional marginal vehicle that is produced, that should drive the average cost of goods sold on that vehicle down. So that's going to be a significant factor. I hope that I'm underestimating that. Hopefully it's a little bit bigger than I'm forecasting here. And then we've got mix shifts, just like we talked about up here, as average selling prices would be lower from some of these things. It's also going to drive cost of goods sold down because those lower trim vehicles or lower price vehicles are also going to cost less for Tesla to produce. Now on the cost of goods sold line, we've also got a ton of uncertainty around materials. You know, we've obviously seen commodity costs decline. How much of that is reflected in Tesla's supplier contracts? How much of a lag time is that? How much of that previous increase was reflected in Tesla's prices? All those things are unknowable for us. So unfortunately, you know, as best as we can do forecasting, we just don't know some of these things. Similar questions for logistics. Prices there should have come down, but logistics in the fourth quarter, generally more expensive. And if you look back at Tesla's history, you can see that Tesla's margins pretty consistently peaked in Q3 and then declined in Q4. One of the main reasons for that is just more expensive logistics costs in this quarter. And then you've got Tesla layering in incentives and things like that, which have happened historically in the fourth quarter as well. Then we've also got foreign exchange, just like we do with the average selling price. Kind of difficult to model expectations for that. If anyone feels like they're an expert on that, I would definitely take some assistance regarding modeling in foreign exchange. And then Texas and Berlin, just, you know, in general here, a little bit of uncertainty because we should have reduced fixed cost inefficiencies because as Texas and Berlin ramp up, obviously they're spreading out those fixed costs over more vehicles, similar to the point we talked about up here, but it is affecting them more significantly as their ramp is steeper at this point in time. So that helps. But then there are probably still inefficiencies within the factory. So I kind of put it as increased marginal cost mix here. These vehicles that Tesla in Berlin are producing are perhaps still going to be more expensive if Tesla has not gotten all of the economies of scale sort of built into the additional units that are being built. So the contribution margin essentially is kind of what I'm talking about here. If that's a little bit lower, you know, we don't know for sure. If that's a little bit lower, Texas and Berlin are a much bigger part of the total deliveries this quarter. So where you've got reduced fixed cost inefficiencies, you may have an increased marginal cost mix from these vehicles as well. So kind of difficult for us to say exactly how that shakes out this quarter. And the reason that I have this here as a question mark, last quarter I had it as something that would cause a deeper drop in cost of goods sold, and I don't think we really saw that materialize quite yet. So hopefully we see that this quarter, but kind of tough to say at this point. All right. So looking at expenses before we talk through the points there, let's just kind of round those out. Obviously, we don't get quite as much detail from Wall Street as we do in my forecast here, but basically just modeling for a pretty smooth R&D increase from where we've been in Q2 and Q3. You may remember in Q4 and Q1, Tesla had increased R&D costs because of the refresh for Model S and X. So that kind of dropped back out in Q2, or sorry, refresh. Was that then? Maybe that's just Berlin and Texas. But then that kind of dropped out from R&D, went back into cost of goods sold. So we saw that big drop there, but that was associated with that bucket shift. So then kind of back to our normal increases back in Q3, and that's kind of what I'm expecting here in Q4. Same thing for SG&A. That's been relatively simple to model once we have factored out Elon Musk's compensation plan, which we've got a little bit here that's expected to be recognized in Q4. But that really drove things up last year. That's going to drop out of SG&A this year. So I'm just over $1 billion there in SG&A. Operating expenses, then, I'm a little bit lower than street expectations. My operating income, though, is a little bit lower because, as we said, my total gross profit is a couple hundred million dollars below Wall Street expectations, about 4%. And that's despite having about $100 million more from energy and services in gross margin than Wall Street does. So again, really being driven by my lower expectation for automotive gross margin, which is really driven by that end of quarter discounting. So we'll see on that. Hopefully, again, I think that I'm conservative on my cost of goods sold, but we'll find out tomorrow. All right, the operating margin then, I am a little bit lower, 15.8%, still up year over year, 110 basis points from last year, but of course that was impacted a little bit by that CEO compensation recognition that I talked about. Wall Street right now at 16.7% operating margin expectation. My EBITDA expectation, just about 5.3 billion. So that, I believe, is a record for Tesla if it does come in that way. Same thing with non-GAAP net income, about 3.9 billion. Stock-based compensation, nothing too major to call out there. Getting down to GAAP net income then, about 3.5 billion. And then finally, you can see my EPS expectations here. $1.12 on a non-GAAP basis and expectations here. $1.12 on a non-GAAP basis and $1.01 on a GAAP basis. So sort of weirdly, even though my operating income is lower than street expectations, my earnings per share expectations are higher. That is due to taxes. So for some reason, Wall Street is expecting taxes to, for some reason, be about $500 million this quarter, which would be up 65% quarter over quarter from Q3, even though revenue, or rather, even though operating income here is only up about 10% from Q3, expecting a 65% increase in taxes. So basically, I'm just forecasting 150 million or 200 million less in taxes than Wall Street. And that's why my EPS number becomes a little bit higher, which is a good reminder that although people like to just compare this final number, at the end of the day, up here is a lot more important because little things like taxes, which, doesn't have too much to do with forecasting or the structure of the business, that can cause significant changes on this bottom line. So just something to keep in mind. Let's round out the notes here, though, on expenses. So I don't think I mentioned yet. I do expect about a $35 million impact or Bitcoin impairment this quarter. So we did see Bitcoin decline from prior lows from when Tesla had first purchased in the fourth quarter. So unless Tesla sold Bitcoin, which we had seen them do prior this year, I do expect about a $35 million impairment there. And then again, that $4 million CEO stock-based compensation. That should be the end of that plan for Elon if that does get recognized as expected this quarter. So on the income line, if we look at this earnings per share number on a GAAP basis, that would move trailing 12-month GAAP EPS up to about $3.57. That'd be about 40 times. I'd put Tesla's price to earnings ratio at about 40 times earnings over the last 12 months. One thing to note here is that we could see FSD revenue recognition this quarter. Tesla has noted that they've got about $1 billion last quarter that they expect to recognize in deferred FSD revenue that they expect to recognize over the next 12 months. So, of course, we saw Tesla sort of get to a wide release point in the United States, at least this quarter. So I would expect them to recognize some of that. That could add 20 to 30 cents per share in terms of earnings if it does get recognized this quarter. Analysts will, of course, back that out, but it would still factor into the price-to-earnings ratio that ends up getting displayed. So sort of the bottom line on that net income line then, market's really looking forward right now. They're doubting the earnings per share growth in the near term because of the price cuts that we have seen. So normally we'd take a look at this and we'd say, okay, you know, looking at this number and then kind of annualizing that, that gives us a forward price-to-earnings ratio of X. But in this case, that's really not what's going to happen because a lot of analysts are going to be modeling for earnings declines, at least in the first quarter, if not through the entirety of next year. So that sort of trend that we've seen historically of that earnings growth, definitely expected to be on pause at least for a little bit here for Tesla. So market's going to be using this baseline, kind of my final note here, using this baseline automotive gross margin X credits to build off of for their 2023 forecast. So going back to the beginning, as usual, this is probably the most important number that we're going to see. Now, secondary to that probably is going to be what happens with Tesla Energy. So I'm forecasting about 2.9 gigawatt hours installed in the fourth quarter. That would be up from 2.1 in the third quarter, which was, I believe, previously a record. Wall Street only expecting about 1.7 gigawatt hours for some reason. Solar, I'm at about 100 megawatts. Wall Street, pretty similar. So energy storage, probably the big driver of any variability there on the energy lines, which again, you know, I'm pretty significantly, you know, I'm forecasting more than 100% more, or about 100% more energy profit than Wall Street is at this point. So I know there's a lot of excitement right now about Megapack on Twitter and things like that. I'm excited about it too. I just think that the sort of ramp of Lathrop is probably being underestimated in some of that excitement, especially here for the fourth quarter and before we start to see some of the tax credits get applied next year. So I'd be really happy with this. I think it would show tremendous growth for the energy business. You can see I'd have it up 97% year over year there. Profit last year was negative, so you can't really compare that, but that'd be $200 million more than last year in terms of profit. So would be significant growth on that business if we do see that, which would be very exciting. So probably the first thing I'll check, automotive gross margin. Probably the second thing I'd check would be where the energy business comes in, both in terms of deployments and also margin. Hopefully we see Megapack margin improving as Lathrop ramps. All right, I think that's most of it. Free cash flow, we didn't really talk about. Wall Street expecting $2.8 billion of free cash flow, down a little bit quarter over quarter. Remember, for free cash flow this quarter, we do have, you know, 30-some thousand vehicles, I think like 34,000 vehicles that were produced but not delivered. Those vehicles will hit the cash flow, and then they haven't returned any cash since they have not been delivered yet. So that's something to keep in mind for the free cash flow line when we see that. Hopefully we'll get a quarter where that sort of flips around and that free cash flow comes back. But with Tesla unwinding the wave, that's probably not going to happen, or I guess less likely to happen with the new delivery structure. All right, just kind of a few other notes for the earnings report tomorrow to keep an eye on. So we talked about the FSD beta revenue deferral factories. So we'll most likely have some discussion of the Giga Nevada expansion. So looking forward to that. And then maybe Tesla will give us an update on some other locations. Maybe they will tell us that, hey, Giga Nevada is kind of what we were talking about when we talked about announcing another location. I think they said in 2022. Of course, we didn't quite see that, but we seem to have a couple irons in the fire here that could be announced soon. So we'll see if there's any updates on that tomorrow, or if they just talk Giga Nevada. And then guidance. I think Wall Street's going to be very curious about that. There's going to be a lot of questions about that if Tesla doesn't address it. I would imagine that they'll just reiterate and also re-emphasize that their 50% compound annual growth rate, that is a long-term multi-year forecast. So although at certain points in certain earnings calls, they'll talk about that for an individual year basis. Obviously, Tesla fell short on deliveries for 2022, but it'll be interesting to see if they mention anything in terms of their expectations specifically for 2023, because again, I think that will be heavily questioned by Wall Street at this point. So we'll see if they have any specific comments on that. And yeah, I think that's kind of the big items that I'm looking for. So I think that's probably where we'll wrap it up for today then. Again, tomorrow we will have the earnings report. So the shareholder letter comes out right after market close. I'll be, as usual, doing a live stream for that. We can take a look at the numbers together, plug it in and see how that compares to expectations here. And then after that, Tesla will hold their earnings call. I think that's at 4:30 Central Time, and we'll do a stream for that and some reactions afterwards. So make sure you tune in for that. And then, you know, we'll see how earnings comes in, and that'll shape our expectations for next year. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, January 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.